We decided to make the schmooze on Thursday this week to get all the holiday spirit in. Okay. So there are three schmoozing, but it's the same theme. And I think each one depicts a different strength, a different angle of this midah. So I'm not just trying to say three shmuzim on the same topic. So don't get so nervous that B'nai B'chai, it looks a little long, but in the parsha, it says, "Vayehi kasher ro Yaakov is Rachel bas Lavan." When Yaakov saw Rachel, the daughter of Lavan, achi imo, who was the brother of his mother, Rivka's brother, veson Lavan, and also the sheep of Lavan, achi imo, who was his mother's brother, vayigash Yaakov. Yaakov approached, and he was able to roll off this Evan from the Be'er, and he was able to give to drink the sheep of Lavan, Achimo, who was his mother's brother. So B'nai B'chai is so fascinating. So the first part, not to get bogged down in the reading of it, but the first part, the Rabbeinu B'chai notes that the pasuk said in one pasuk it says achi imo three times. You know, in English, when you're writing something, you keep finding, you're not allowed to say the same. They told me this in the office. If I'm writing a letter, you can't use the same word twice in the same letter. If you're writing an email to someone or a letter to someone, you have to find different synonyms. You have to use a thesaurus, if you don't know them offhand, to use different words. You can't say, he shows enthusiasm, like writing a report card, he shows a lot of enthusiasm for learning, we hope he continues this enthusiasm. You can't say the same word twice in the same thing. You have to get a different word. It shows the same excitement as he had enthusiasm. You can't use it. But the pasuk, in one pasuk, it said three times that Lavan was achi imo. So Rabbeinu B'chai notes that, and he says, towards the end of the first half of it, v'zochar belibo es imo, he remembered in his heart his mother, Yaakov's remembering his mother Rivka, ashavoso, that she loved him, shenosna lo ha'etza zos, that she gave him this advice, Lavo elav, to come to Lavan, and now he met Rachel, who's going to be his wife. He was just so appreciative, and he constantly never forgot that Rachel was the daughter of Lavan, achi imo. Constantly reinforced that this is achi imo. But you look at the second half, va'od yesh bazet tamachas, an additional reason why it says achimo. And this we'll just read inside together, just to make sure we're on the same page. Shrei kishe yira adam o yishma mashu chefetz, a person sees or hears something that he wants. Hine zeh siba l'tosefes koach b'koach toldaso. This is a reason to have extra energy, extra strength. Because a person might think that Yaakov, Taiva, imagine, was chasing after a certain Teva, that he sees Rachel, his Basheret, he's about to get, you know, a chasen, has such love for the Kala. So Nimshach Achar Taiva Gufnis, so he was attracted to a understandable desire, magnetic attachment, V'hosef bo koach b'glilas ha'evan. And this is what gave him extra energy. Wow, he had such love for Rachel. It sounds very romantic. He had such love for his kala that he was able to lift this very heavy stone off the be'er. Mashalo hayasa tchili. Couldn't do that originally. L'kach chutzrach lomer kam epamim. That's why it had to say many times, ach yimo, lahoros, to teach us, kiloni tosaf koach betivo lavas rachel. His koach, his extra energy, his extra strength, his extra muscle, did not come about because of his love, simply because of his love for Rachel. It wasn't just that. Lohayalo bri asa shum his aris kitivi shabni adam. And he didn't have, when he saw her, extra motivation and alacrity like most people. Avala kol la'avas imo. Everything was for the ava of his mother. Ubne zeh his gear as Rachel was atzon called him shiaski of a yogel as even. Then there's a minor gears to change, which had I seen it earlier would have saved me about a half hour. Kimosha Amar, not Velo Amar, Kimosha Amar, as it says, Vayhi kasher ro Yaakov es Rachel bas Laban achimo vayogel seven. After he chazed over that he was achimo, then vayogel es even. So just this, the hair, like here, you know, this wasn't just a platonic relationship. He wasn't stam. Yaakov wasn't looking for a basheret, you know, just because, you know, he was physically attracted to Rachel. He was looking for the one who is going to continue the progeny of the avos. She was going to be the, you know, the aim of the shvatim, one of the imos of the shvatim. And it wasn't just that love for Rachel. It was, he galvanized the avas imo. So, you know, that wasn't enough. He went further back. He had to call on the reserve. You know, just the ava for Rachel would not have been sufficient. Just the hakoras hatov. And the Rabbeinu Bechai expresses that hakoras hatov. Like, why are you here? How did you get here? How did you get here? You only got here because your mother told you to come. If you forget that, you forget everything. You don't understand anything. You know, you're just for your love of Rachel, that's not what pushes the person. He was makatov every second that he only was able to get here because of Rivka, because of his mother. This is my mother's brother. So every moment that he had, he chazving over, I'm only here because of my mother, and this is my mother's brother. I'm only here because of my mother, this is my mother's brother. And then Mela, that gave him the strength to Vayogel Lesa Evan. He pushed off the Evan with that extra koach. So the whole koach of the Hakaras HaTov, of him being Makir, ultimately, the source, where it's coming from, that's what gave him the strength. So that's the hair. That Hakaras, this Hakaras HaTov gave him more strength than even the fact that he was searching for his basheret. This is not just your average yeshiva guy going out and getting engaged. It's a big simcha, it's true. We have a lot of simchas, you know, even locally. It's a very big simcha. But everyone has to agree, this particular, you know, engagement was on a different plane. So, if so, that wasn't enough to do it. This is going to be the aim, and this is going to be the one of the mohos, and this is her father. That couldn't have done it. That would have a gvul. That had a much stronger gvul. Could not have done it. But what did do it? You deher that my mother, who is the only reason why I'm here right now, she sent me here. That acknowledgement is what gave him the strength, even more than the Emmaus. Okay. Then in the second shmooze, now this is not my shmooze, this is the Rashiva shmooze, but just seems to connect. So this is by the Maisa Egel, Vayamid Moshe Bishar Machna, Vayamid Mila Hashem Eli. Whoever is serving Hashem, come to me. Vayaswa Lov Kol Bnei Levi. What's Pshah Kol Bnei Levi? There's a famous, anything I know is considered famous, so maybe it's not famous, but this shmooze I remember, in addition to be written up in the Chidush HaLev, but the Rishiva said this one over, at least in my tenure, many times. The Nira Lefi Shayu Shevet Levi Krovim LaMoshe. Shevet Levi were Krovim, they were relatives to Moshe. Lefichach Lo Nisratza Echem Mehem Lahomir Manhig Vimchoma. Therefore, not one member of Shevet Levi jumped off the team. Not one dissented. They all remained. They all stayed close and loyal to Moshe Rabbeinu. Not one dissenter. And from the other Shvatim was not like that. It wasn't the whole Shvatim. So Rashiva asked Akasha. Rashiva said that, they felt they needed a manhig to lead them. Their cheshbon, there was a cheshbon that they thought Moshe Rabbeinu died. Moshe Rabbeinu said when he'll come down. They made calculations. Moshe was gone. They presumably he was dead. He went up, to unprecedented territory. And Moshe's dead. Now who's going to be their manhig? So this was the consensus of what they should do. They had gedolim there, as we know, at different levels, and they all had a cheshbon. Every other shevet, there were, statistically, there should have been someone from Shevet Levi also. If every shevet participated, not Levi, there has to be an understanding of that. So says the Das Zakenim, the understanding is that they were loyal, they were more loyal because they were Krovim. So what if you're Krovim? Don't you have the same? The others wanted Moshe Rabbeinu. This was not a political fight. There was Republicans and Democrats who wants Moshe Rabbeinu to stay as their leader. There was no presidential running for office. It's not like Moshe Rabbeinu was an unpopular leader. They all wanted Moshe Rabbeinu. They weren't looking to replace him. They loved Moshe Rabbeinu. They wanted Moshe Rabbeinu. They have no reason to cast him aside. And yet, nevertheless, they all did because they had a cheshbon. So why didn't Shevet Levi? Oh, because they're Krovim. Nu, as what? So what if he was Krovim? The Rashiva brought out from here such a beautiful, beautiful vort that they stayed with it longer. They not just let it stay longer, but somehow they refused to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu died. They saw something. This is, the cheshbon was not correct. Their cheshbon was not correct. Indeed, it wasn't correct. But the only reason they knew it was not correct, they didn't have inside information. This was not security exchange inside info. This was the fact that they were Krovim, they were able to see it more clearly. A certain sense of Yashrus, just for the Kurva, that they are part of this, I in my mind, there's also a certain, this is where they come from. There's a certain hakara to Moshe Rabbeinu. They had to stay with it a little bit longer. And finally, this I had heard. I searched and searched. I had seen a shmooze from Rabbi Rausch in Milwaukee. And I tried to find the sefer where it was teaming with Rabbi Kiev. I think I spelled the sefer wrong, so we got the wrong sefer. I don't know which sefer this is, but it's just an amazing deher. So if you look at number 3, I don't even know where this is quoted. It's quoting a Chassam Sofer. So let's read it together. Kosav b'sefer chut ha-meshulash sh'rabbeinu ha-gon bal Chassam Sofer ha-yirog el-omer. Chassam Sofer used to say this. Sh'lachein, for the following reason, hishmit rabbeinu ha-kodesh inyan Chanukah. I guess it's coming up, so I thought it would be good. I have no shmuzman on Thanksgiving, but Chanukah I could discuss. So, but when I gave a shiur at the 10th grade today, I did one on Thanksgiving. It's not for you. Shalachain Hishmet Abenu HaKadosh Inyan Chanukah. For the following, Abenu HaKadosh did not put Chanukah in the Mishnayos. Lo Hizkiru B'Mishnah. He didn't write anything in the Mishnayos about Chanukah. Other historical happenings that were, same time was discussed. Purim, etc. But Chanukah is not discussed. And it wasn't because, it happened afterwards. No. V'lo eskiru b'mishnah p'ma shekasa Ramban. He didn't write it in the Mishnah based on what the Ramban writes. Parashas Vayechi al ha-pasuk lo yosur shevet mi-Yehuda. The pasuk in Vayechi says, lo yosur shevet mi-Yehuda ki zeh haya onesh hashchash monoim. Because of the pasuk of lo yosur shevet mi-Yehuda, that Yehuda is going to be the melech. So this was why the Chashmonoim were punished. Shemolchu b'bayasheni, the Chashmonoim ruled during the second temple. Kihayu chaside elyon, because they were chashuv people. Vilmolehem, if not for the Chashmonoim, nishtachu haTorah. Torah would have been forgotten, Rechmon Islan. Vamitzvahs mi Yisrael. Torah and mitzvahs would have been forgotten. Vafal pikein. So why were they punished? They're such chashuv people, and they brought Torah back. Vafal pikein nenshu onish gadol. They had a terrible punishment. Ki arba bnei chashmonoi hazokin hamolchim zerach hazeh. There were four reigns, king after king after king after king of the chashmonoim. There were four reigns, four generations. Im kol gvuros v'atzlachos, with all of their might and success, Naflu biyad oivim, they fell ultimately, the Chashmonoim, into the hands of their enemies, becherev, by sword, v'higia ha'onesh besof, and they got their end and their punishment in the end, l'mashamru chazal, as Chazal say in Bava Basra, kol man da'omar mi'beis Chashmonoi ko'asina, whoever says they're from Beis Chashmonoim, avdahu, it's a proof that they're an eved. How do you know they're an eved? Shenichrisu kulam bavonazeh, because they were all wiped out because of this avera. Shemolchu, that they ruled. Lo hayu mizera Yehuda in Beis David. They weren't from Yehuda in Beis David. Chashmonoim, I think, were from Shimon. Vesiru hashevet, and the shevet was removed. V'hamachokek legamri, and they were erased entirely. V'haya onesh, and their punishment was mida keneged mida. It was mida keneged mida. Shehim shel kodesh baruch hasavdehem aleihem. Because what did Hashem do? They ruled when they weren't supposed to rule. They were supposed to, they were needed during the times of Chanukah, but they should have given back the kingdom to Yehuda afterwards. But they didn't do that. They gave it to their children, to their children, to their children. So what did Hashem do? Mida k'neged mida. You took kingdom that you didn't deserve. So Hashem had their avadim, their slaves, wipe them out. Wiped them out. Kalashono. Vihina. This is now the Chassam Sofer talking. That was the Ramban in Vayechi. Vini Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So what does that have to do with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi leaving out the story of Chanukah? What does that have to do with anything? Just get back. Everyone get back. So now how does that answer the question? So the Chassam Sofer says, Vihine, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi mi debase David Kasi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was from the shevet of David, or from Beis David. Kedisa b'Shabbes daf nun vav. Rabbi da'asmi David. Rabbi who came from David. Mahapech v'dorash b'schus hid David. He researched and he found a schus in the schus of David. Al kein lo sider b'miyuchad in yoni Chanukah. That's why he didn't write the story of Chanukah, because how would that look? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is writing down that the Chashmonoim were there and they were ruling and they eradicated the Malchus of David. How does that look for his Shevet? I mean, he's from Beis David and the Chashmonoim took over. I'm not going to want to write that the Democrats ruled when they took away from my, they stole the election. Whatever, they ruled when they weren't supposed to. So they stole the election. I'm not giving him any honor. He probably won't even come to the inauguration, right? Probably. So So that's why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who's from David, wouldn't put it in Chutzpah, Chashmonoim. They had no right to do that. Okay, what does that have to do with the Shmooze? So this is such a bomb kasha. You probably have the kasha ready. V'ayim b'tshuvas maritz arachayim simen ayin ches. I thought it would be in the Shulchan Aruch. I looked up maritz ayin ches. First of all, what does that have to do with simen ayin ches? No shayches, but I don't even know where the tshuvas maritz. Rabbi Kier, maybe you can find tshuvas maritz for me. Shapikbeik hashoel, that the shoel, the asker, has a bomb kasha. I'm sure you all had the kasha if you got this far. Hayitachin? Is it? Hayitachin, the only way it won't translate, hayitachin. Hayitachin? Is it possible? Lakshav came? A Rabbeinu, a Kaddish? Is it possible to say such insanity? Forgive my adding in the word. Insanity on Rabbeinu, a Kaddish? Shebavur kvodo, for his own honor? The kovod beis avosav, in honor of his fathers? Yastir lefarsim neis Hanukkah? He concealed the miracle of Hanukkah? What? I left out other marmakomos that, you know, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was the biggest onav, and I think the Mishnah says, from the time that Rebbe died, batel anava, there's no more modesty after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So he was a big onav. What's the pshat? Because he researched and he found out in the Schus of David, that was my great-great-grandfathers were pushed out, so therefore I'm not putting you in. It's like editorial, you know, fake news. Well, that's what he did? What's pshat? Forgive all my references. Just keep you awake in the afternoon. V'choshiv, so the Maritz answers, Sh'rabbeinu HaKadosh kavanoso haya l'shem shamayim. And v'heshiv. And the answer is, says the Maritz, that Rabbeinu HaKadosh did this l'shem shamayim. It was l'shem shamayim. Frek, Rabbi Rausch, this is a beautiful kasha. As if you're following the trend. What's l'shem shamayim? What's the Shem Shemayim? The Maisa, if he cared, the Shem Shemayim, what does it have to do with that he was Beis David? Stam, you should write. Even not from Beis David, that he had a Cheshbon to put it in. What have to do with that was Beis David? How is that the Shem Shemayim? No Shaychus. So the Rausch put out such a good word. It's just to follow the Cheshbon, is that there was a big Kasha on Yehuda Nasi. That he didn't put in Hanukkah. No, they didn't know why. They obviously didn't see the Ramban. Wow, at first I was learning, why didn't you see the Ramban? It's favorite Ramban. Oh, you have to keep the Cheshbon chronology. You know, he lived earlier before the Ramban. He didn't see the Ramban. So how did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi figure out? It was a big kasha. Why wasn't it put in? So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, because he had this attachment to Beis David, he was trying to melamed zchus. Why he didn't put it in? The only reason how he knew this pshat is because he was from Beis David. He had a research. I'm sure at that point, you know, how do you know Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is from Beis David? I don't know if it was known, but Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he knew he's from Beis David, and he's had to go into and research and lo yaseh shevet mi Yehuda, and he figured out that Ramban. And that was the limud zchus, that it wasn't proper to insert this into the Mishnayos. So the Shem Shemayim was that he used this korva, this attachment, to be able to even see the truth. He wouldn't have figured that out otherwise. That was the Shem Shemayim. I think that's the pshat that Rashi was saying. Okay, so you have a certain responsibility. Kuras Hatov came from David. He got me here. If not for David, I wouldn't be here. That's the line. That's the line of descendants. There's a certain Kuras Hatov to previous generation. So
that places great responsibility, but also it gives us tremendous koach. Our physical strength is enhanced. Our ability to see the truth, we see from this Chassam Sofer, even to figure that out. He only figured it out because he was trying to figure out what's the pshat? Why didn't he insert it? Why wasn't it in the Mishnayos? And then we saw from the Shevet Levi, gave Shevet Levi also a sense of yashrus. They saw what others didn't see. You made a cheshen, but your cheshen is wrong. How'd they know it was wrong? Everyone else thought it was right. But because of that connection, they also saw it. So I just was thinking about different practical applications that some of us could implement. I have this sanitation guy comes to Monday mornings and Thursday mornings on my block. It's almost embarrassing, but he drives by, picks up the garbage can, puts it down, and he does that in 2 seconds, have this machine. But when he gets to my house, he gets out of his truck, he steps down, he brings my garbage can back to the side of my house, and goes on. Well, why? I'm hoping, thank goodness my neighbors are sleeping. You know, I'm so embarrassing, to be singled out, but I happened to be there one time. They come, I don't know, before 7 a.m. on my block. And one time I was out there, and I wasn't even, I'm not necessarily the biggest tippers, but it was November, December. I never see this guy, and I happened to be outside. Outside, I have to say, I saw him there. He's taking my garbage can. I thanked him, how you doing? And I waved to him, and I reached out, I had a $10 bill in my pocket. I said, I always wanted to have a seat. I once wanted to thank you so much. So the next day, he came, he brought my garbage can back. I said, okay, I see, but very nice. And he started doing it all the time for $10 a year. That's probably good business. For $10 a year, he comes down off his truck. It's the biggest pain in the neck. Comes down off his truck. He's got to step on the front wheel to get down and jump back in. And he does that to my garbage every time. Thank you. I became good friends with this guy. I saw him again. I had told him was having surgery on my hip. He felt so bad for me. He told me his wife's having it. We were exchanging articles. And he had reconstructive knee surgery. So I tell him, I'm so sorry. And he was gone for, 6-7 months. I haven't seen him. And he came back last week. Last week. I didn't see him last December. And he was out already. I didn't give him a penny. And sure enough, last week he returned, and I asked people, I didn't know his name, so I couldn't even ask about him. Last week, I see my garbage cans back inside of my house. And since then, it's coming back at my $10, still working. You see, just thanking somebody, it gives him such chizik. It is not worth the $10, but he's so, it just filled him up with, someone appreciates what I'm doing. I used to, when I was principaling, so I end up being here the craziest hours the craziest hours, and Fridays are the worst. So when I used to leave, I used to walk through the kitchen. I said, Good Shabbos, I'm still the only one left in the building. And whatever, after a while, I just, you know, I did it for like a, a few months. And then I stopped doing it. I stopped the minig. A year or two later, Mr. Stoll told me that, you should know, I missed when you used to come to wish me Good Shabbos at the end of the week. It meant so much to me. So, wow, I didn't even dare. Now, I always go before Friday afternoon. I go to the kitchen. He's always the last one in the building to say Good Shabbos to him. You have no idea how much it means to him when someone comes over to say thank you. It's like why? He's getting paid the same regardless whether you like the food, whether you don't like the food. You know, it's just somehow when we know how it feels when people are Makir Tov to us, but when we show Hakaras HaTov to them, so it gives them more chizuk, but it gives us more chizuk to understand why we're here. I remember giving shiur one year, 11th grade, or maybe it was 10th grade. There was one boy at the end of class, he always waited till there was nobody there, and he would walk up to the front of the class and say, Rebbe, thank you very much for giving shiur today. I don't even know why I felt so good. I don't think that Sally was the best student, but he made a big roshim on me. You know, a very big roshim. I was thinking of different times, like, you know, if you ever go to a shul, so Friday night, so my father was always makbid, you have to go say Good Shabbos to the Rav in the shul. If you go on on Shabbos, you can't leave without saying Good Shabbos to the Rav. But you look around, most people don't stay to say Good Shabbos. And I remember growing up, I had to stay to Rabbi Kirzner in Bnei Yehudim Borough Park. I had to stay to the very end and say Good Shabbos. And he would always ask you a kasha in learning, you know, to everyone. He always had a different question. And I developed a very, a relationship with, an old European Rav I would never have had otherwise. And how do you develop a kesher with a Rav? He gives his sermon and he leaves. But to the Rav, it's very, very important. He feels he has a connection, that people are coming over, say Good Shabbos, that you mean something. I remember the Reshiva used to tell this story about himself. He had been Reshiva already for over 20 years, and he was ready to give it up. He had no Talmidim, virtually. You know, he had a small yeshiva, less than 20, 15 guys. After being yeshiva, open 20 years. And the yeshiva, he had a sort of a disposition for psak. He was going to go to Eretz Yisrael and become, a posek for Klal Yisrael. He would have been Rabbi Yashiv. But he always said over something gnawing at him that his father wanted him to be a Marbitz Torah. Not a posek, he marbits Torah, and he felt that he would be considered disloyal to his father's legacy if he would leave now. Even though he viewed himself as it wasn't working, it definitely was failing. And after 20 years, one would think you can give it up, but he said no. He has to try again. He has to try. Maybe at one point he'll have to give up. He has to try again. And his first team of big Talmidim, he had big Talmidim before, but a larger group, came in then. Rabbi Trapper, Zichrono Lebracha, Rabbi Harris, Rabbi Edelman. That was right after that. Right after he decided to stay, that's when that Chabura of Talmidim came in. There's certainly, to be makir what his father did, he wouldn't be here without him. Sort of this same idea. So, a Hakaras HaTov, it's a nice midah, but we never look at it in that regard, that it's mischazik others, mischazik ourselves. Yaakov Avinu got chizik, extra chizik himself by being makir. What his mother brought for him, that gave him the strength through Rachel, that trumped even the
the aim of Klal Yisrael, the aim HaShvatim, that even trumped that. And the Shevet Levi was able to see past what everyone else saw and say, no, Moshe Rabbeinu is alive. And, you know, Rabbi Anasi was able to vindicate keep getting confused about that. Rabbi. As he was trying to find the schusim in David, because it would be considered a black eye for David HaMelech. It would be a black eye for David HaMelech, Lo Yosef Shevet Yehuda, if he would insert this into the Mishnayos. I have to just go through that cheshbon again. I keep losing it. But to deher this fart in Akaras HaTov, that if we exercise Akaras HaTov, it will bring upon us tremendous more kochos, ruchnias and gashmias.